The Lysandre are selfish, self-aggrandizing, have a bit of a superiority complex, and we are going to talk about them. A Lysandre exists to benefit themselves. They don't necessarily serve a crown or a prince. They do have factions, but ultimately they are trying to win anything, whatever it is that they are trying to accomplish. It will be for their own personal gain rather than a crown. However, if it does happen to benefit their group as a whole, then, you know, that's just a bonus. Might makes right when you're dealing with a Lysandre, and they will sacrifice literally anything if they feel that they can win. They also aren't very loyal either, and this would show by the fact that half of the clan has defected from the Sabbat. Lysandre pride themselves on doing everything with a certain elegance. You gotta have style to be a Lysandre. Now, this does not mean that all of the Lysandre dress alike or have the same style. They may not decorate their havens in exactly the same way, but the Lysandre are gifted with exposition, so they will be able to vamsplain to you why their choice is elegant and why you're an idiot for not being able to see it. As a result, this clan's members tend to be quite articulate and very persuasive. These guys are much less about the shock and awe factor if you are presenting something new, unless you know that's going to work. They are much more about the subtlety and the explanation of why this new thing is the way that it is or should be. Subtle eloquence. Many members of this particular clan also favor the game chess. It's a rather on-the-nose metaphor for vampiric society. And any vampire, really, but especially the Lysandre, they should be very good at this game if you want to get anything out of life. Unlife. Being a vampire. Clan Lysandre has changed with the times as they have progressed. Some of these changes have happened through a willingness to change, and others have been done out of a necessity for change. The clan used to be pretty elitist, and they only embrace from the most powerful houses, the wealthiest family lines. They're a little less selective now, however, the only thing that matters in today's world is money. So unless you have the ability to get a lot of it or control vast amounts of it, you probably won't end up in the Lysandre clan. The Lysandre have also become something of a bankroll for the Sabbat. As a clan, the Lysandre really don't like their anti-tribute. Throughout the ages, the Lysandre have actively hunted and destroyed their anti-tribute. In modern settings, the aggressiveness to which they have pursued the anti-tribute has died down quite a bit, but basically at this point, the only anti-tribute that are left are the ones that were hardest to kill. They were the smartest and the wiliest, so they're out living their best undead life somewhere, probably looking over their shoulder waiting for the Lysandre to come get them. The Lysandre have a particularly embarrassing moment in their history. A rather prominent figure in their clan, Gian Galeazzo Visconti, who was a former cardinal, he defected from their clan. And he did so in rather spectacular and dramatic fashion. Gian was a signer on the Code of Milan. This is a very important document to the Sabbat. Towards the end of the 20th century, Gian gathered all of Milan's Cainites and brought them to his castle. From here, he basically announced his departure from the Sabbat, ripped up the Code of Milan, and killed everyone there. He announced himself Prince of Milan and then joined the Camarilla. The Camarilla embraced him with open arms, and by embrace, I mean they hugged him and said, "You come here." They did not, like, he was already a vampire, so they couldn't do the thing. And they made very sure that nothing could ever happen to him. He has been very well supported by the Camarilla, and this is a very sore spot for the Lysandre. If you haven't figured it out already, the Lysandre are tied to the Mediterranean in Italy, specifically Sicily. They also have history towards the sea, as well as merchants and pirates and all those other fun things. Sicily is where Lysandre, the original Lysandre, their antediluvian, set up their headquarters. They inserted themselves into the various seafaring cultures, and from here the Lysandre were encouraged to go out and explore the world. During this particular time, the Lysandre, they reveled in their piracy. They actively fought against the Greeks and the Romans. They also refused any of the rights or the rules by any of the other Cainite lords, so they fed on whoever they wanted. This also led the clan into the lands of Liberia and the Roman Republic. Some did make their way into China, but they have remained mostly secluded and hidden away from some of the other Eastern vampires. Now, the La Sombra, the Ventru, and the Malkavians, they rose to power and ruled the Roman Empire until its dissolution, or its destruction. One might make the argument that the Roman Empire fell because the La Sombra and the Ventru did not get along very well. They were arguing for control over the same spaces of land. They grew to hate each other, and there was definitely some infighting when they would have been ruling Rome together. Even after Rome fell, these two clans have still been warring with each other, trying to take over each other's land because they both want access to the same areas. That was until the Roman Empire fell, and then they kind of went the opposite directions and did everything opposite of each other. The Ventru went north into what is now Germany, the La Sombra stayed in the Mediterranean, the La Sombra went to the Sabbat, the Ventru went to the Camarilla. The La Sombra used religion as a tool, so they turned to church, and the Ventru went to government and politics. They went to the state. With the La Sombra that left the Sabbat and joined the Camarilla, the Ventru that were already in the Camarilla, they really like to hold their status and positions of power over the new joining La Sombra. Some of the La Sombra have really put up with this though and maneuvered themselves into important positions because they realize it's not necessarily the king or it's not necessarily the throne that gives you power. La Sombra used power and authority to prove that they are better than you, or that they are superior to you in some way. This is something that they are naturally drawn to. Even though the La Sombra may have power, or a particular La Sombra may have a significant sway of power, they don't necessarily like to be in the limelight. Anything that draws attention to yourself makes you a target, so they tend to operate from the shadows. It was this mentality of theirs that really worked them into the Sabbat. They had taken over a lot of the administrative operations and the handling of the admin roles in the Sabbat. If you do happen to find yourself under the control or direct reporting to a La Sombra, you will find that they are a strict taskmaster. They demand a lot, and they do not reward anything close to what their demands are. And the La Sombra typically will use any means necessary to gain loyalty. Through deception, blood bonds, physical intimidation, money, an unapologetic use of dominate, nothing is off limits to keep you loyal. The La Sombra also have an internal hierarchy that they use for their own purposes outside of the Sabbat. This clan-specific organization is called Friends of the Night. Les Amis Noirs in the modern day, it was also known as Amici Nocti in the Dark Ages. And some of the older vampires still use that older name for this group. Now, this group is not a very well-kept secret. Any La Sombra is more than likely aware of it or has heard of it at some point. However, only those who are inside of this group will know anything about it. And the reason a La Sombra would want to get into this network is because this is where the La Sombra grant their favors. This is where you go to get your prestige. This is where you get your prestitation or favors. The Friends of Night are also very intertwined with the Court of Blood, and these guys, or this group, regulates Diablery. If we're coming into 5th edition, the Amici Nocti is making a return and they're going back to this old name. Basically, after the rise of the Second Inquisition and the start of the Gehenna Crusades, the Amici Nocti reached out to trusted friends or trusted keepers of their own, people who would be loyal to the clan rather than to specific sects. And they have done diplomatic missions between the Camarilla as well as the Anarchs. The Friends is an initiatory society. Someone has to take a liking to you from within the group. An initiate is also then tested before they can actually join. And your membership is only considered once. So if you fail to meet the cut, you will never be invited again. Huge thank you to all of my patron supporters. My name's Nathaniel. This has been The Maple Table. Thanks for stopping by, everyone.